This week in Your Parents' Basement, we're using our Mega Buster to shoot our way past evil robot masters. From 1989, we're playing Mega Man 2 for the NES, the second in the staggeringly popular platforming series. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is my regular co-host, Huelman, who can revel in the splendor of any tour along the Eastern Seaboard.
The longer you hold the fire button, the bigger the fireball.
Our other regular co-host is Brisket Man, who loves to shove good meats into his mouth hole.
Get equipped with metal blade.
And today we have a special guest. He's soaring in from the clouds above. It is a friend of the show and one-time letter writer, Hawkman.
I'm here to stop the evil desires of Dr. Wily.
You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give us some stars.
Oh, sweet stars.
Nice.
Also, be sure to support the show by using our Amazon click-through link on www.ypbpodcast.com. Each purchase helps us get one video game closer to divorce and hermitry. Today's game is Mega Man 2 from 1989. In December of 1987, the Mega Man series debuted on the NES, and despite some of the worst box art ever seen for an action platforming game, it continued with a second release 2 years later in the States. The box art for 2 was still bad, but while the first game was really good, 2 ditched the score counter, and it featured tighter, more focused gameplay and 2 more robot masters, along with extensive boss stages through Wily's Fortress. Both would become series staples and obviously continued through, there's 10 games, which we'll get into later. Hawkman, you nominated this game for this week's show, so why don't you get the conversation started off for us?
Righto. So it's funny you mentioned the box art, because when I was like 8 or 9 and this game came out, I loved it so much and wanted to be Mega Man for Halloween and gave the box to my mom as the costume design. And so she started the costume off with blue sweatpants and then dark blue underwear to go over them. And thankfully, somebody put the kibosh on that before it went any farther.
Oh, that would have been amazing.
I know. I wish there was a picture now.
That sounds like a great start.
Yeah. The box art for this is just hideous. And they don't look like cartoon characters. For some reason, the box art, they look like a weird 40-year-old man in like a visor.
Yeah, it's like too realistic.
Did you guys look at the European cover for Mega Man 2?
Unfortunately, no.
I don't think so.
It is almost,
oh my
almost
God,
as bad. It's great, but it's like good bad.
Is this where he looks like the Tin Man?
Yeah, he's the Tin.
Oh my
he's
God.
The Tin Man.
Oh,
there's like
whoa.
a floating metal head.
And this is
and a
oh,
metal
wow.
dragon.
I'm shocked. This is the second one.
It is pretty much a consistent problem throughout. Like, The virtual box art that some fans made for 9 is, I actually don't know if this is a fan project or an actual attempt by Capcom. That's bad too. Like
nine was on purpose. Nine was the one where they went, they made it for a modern machines and had some hired an artist to make art reminiscent of the first two.
Yeah, it looks like the cover to a Choose Your Own Adventure novel. If you remember, like, the old old 70s and 80s ones, like those, like, super detailed cartoonish things, but like with so much going on.
Escape from Robot Planet or something.
Yeah, that's exactly what it looks like. The Buzz Hand robot in the background.
Well, the box art for 3 is not horrible, especially as compared to the first two games. Although I did see there's an article, I'll have to link to it, about the box art of the games, and it's a critique of each game's box art. 3, he is just staring at the Robot Master's crotch. Like, that is the most that is the most prominent aspect of the cover.
He at least looks like Mega Man.
Yeah, exactly. It
like the
like,
one we know today.
Yeah, it looks like a
Yeah, he's like... he's staring at the robot's crotch.
And shooting him in it.
And shooting him.
Yeah.
He's like, this has to go.
Yeah.
I'm going to shoot you right here.
Yeah, and four and five are, they're okay. They aren't as good as three. And it's weird because then the series moved on to Super Nintendo with Mega Man X, and all those box arts are fine. Like, it's just...
They got a handle on it by then.
Yeah, it only took them about 8 years of dicking around before they got the whole box art thing down. And it's weird because because the actual graphics for this game are incredible. They are the graphics, sound, presentation mix is very, very good.
Yeah, it's really good for NES.
Yeah, better than anything I can think of around the same time. The only problem with them is that when too much stuff gets on the screen, it kind of like slows down and starts to flicker.
Oh, yeah.
And that happens, I think, in all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the Tecmo problem also.
Mm-hmm.
The number of individual sprites on screen.
Yeah, at that point that's when you can tell the NES is a system that was, you know, originally released in, like, I think the processor's from like 83 or 84 even.
Yeah. So. And on Mega Man, the newer ones, 9 and 10, they simulate that.
Oh, do they really?
Yeah.
Oh man. Wow.
Nostalgic.
I have played 8 and 9 and they were kind of fun.
Yeah, I hear they're decent. I have not played them myself.
Yeah, they add in some features that kind of make it easier to pick up and play. Like, they don't have save points, but you can go back and replay stages to, like, acquire extra energy tanks and that kind of thing. And then they you know, the later games in the series, they offer, like, a classic mode where you can't replay stages and, you know, everything's harder and that kind of thing. But two...
They need to make it into a... They need to take a page from Castlevania, make it into a Metroidvania type game.
Oh, that could be kind of cool, except that Capcom is kind of moved away from games that people like. So.
Or a Mega Man takes upon himself the Mega Buster.
He must.
He must. So, Hawk, what did you think of Mega Man 2?
Yeah. So this was one of my favorite games growing up, and I actually called my mom, and we owned 2, 3, 4, and 5. Like, I think they just got in a rut of buying these every year when they came out, and I beat them all as a kid. I must have thousands of Mega Man hours put in, because these are the kind of games that are doable, but they're difficult, and you like have to do them over and over again to learn where certain things happen and which direction to fall. Things like
I think that's a key. It's that it's a challenge, but not impossible, like a lot of NES games.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like that. It hits that sweet spot of a sense of accomplishment when you actually beat it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the game isn't unfair. It's not like
right. That's the right word.
Yeah,
Nintendo hard / unfair.
Yeah. Like Ninja Gaiden is just like, oh, that game is devilish, and where it has birds attacking you and that kind of stuff, and Kid Icarus is one we've covered on the show.
You keep coming to that. I don't think it's insane, but I mean, it's Kid hard.
Kid Ick, you got so many bad guys just like flying out of nowhere, knocking you down.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, it's also tougher. I don't know, for whatever reason that's been my go-to for games that with unfair difficulty lately.
It really has.
Castlevania kind of has it where you'll be jumping and then suddenly there's a bat.
Yeah.
Mine was still River City Ransom as the unfair the unfair enemy spawning.
True. But Mega Man 2 really does not have much of that.
Yeah, it's patterns, like Hawk said. It's something you can learn and adapt to.
Mm-hmm.
And even like on the boss fights, all of them have a certain pattern that you can get them into. Once you figure it out, you can do them. The main, I guess, the gimmick of the game is once you beat one of the robot bosses, you get his power.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a huge grab.
Yeah, so you end up with 8 or 9 or so different gun types, and each one works differently or better on different bosses and stuff like that. So, like, I love platforming games, and I also love sort of RPG games. And this one, because you're improving your character as you go, and you also sort of have to manage resources with the energy levels of the different weapons. Like, that all appeals to me in a big way. So that's
why would you call this a deep story-driven
story? Yeah, this is deep. This is
involved and now, layered.
This story is not as layered and thorough as Shaq Fu. It's up there.
What is?
I mean, could not believe how little story there was in this game. There are two sentences at the beginning, and that's it. That is it.
Wily's bad. Go kill.
Yeah.
I think there is some backstory that's out of the game, which is like, these are some helper robots that are in the first game. It's some helper robots that were made to help the world, to get everybody, you know, help all the people of the world do their menial tasks. Mm-hmm. But Dr. Wily tainted them with his taint and
rubbed his taint all over the robots.
Just putting taint all over everything.
He spread his taint wide all over those robots.
I do have from there is a Mega Man wiki, and do you want the actual story?
Please, if you have it
I
handy.
Would love it.
I mean, I don't need to tell you guys this, but this game actually happened in the past. In the year 2000X, the first decade of the 21st century.
Sure, yeah.
A super robot named Mega Man was created by Dr. Light to stop the mysterious evil genius Dr. Wily's ambition to conquer the world in Mega Man. However, 1 year after his defeat, Dr. Wily returns on June 9th with 8 of his own combat robots to challenge Mega Man.
It's very specific.
Very specific.
Yeah, the date is... There's even a citation for the date from the Journal of Thomas Wright.
So, Thomas Wright? Is that the brother of Thomas Light?
I guess. I don't know. I don't know where the evil and benevolent genius scientists all hang out together, apparently. Let's see. Mega Man, learning this, sets out to defeat the 8 robot masters which Dr. Wily had created, having to traverse their respective stages first. After Mega Man defeated them, Dr. Wily fled in his flying saucer to his fortress, the Wily Castle. And then he beats him over again. Here, spoiler alert for the end, guys. Dr. Wily fled Mega Man once again, this time escaping to a dank, moldy cave underneath his castle. Here, when Mega Man confronted him, Dr. Wily seemingly turned into an alien. After a fierce battle between Mega Man and the alien, it is revealed that the alien was actually a hologram being controlled by none other than Dr. Wily. The evil doctor has no means of escape, begs Mega Man for mercy, and the world is rid of evil once again. Except then it happens another 8 times.
Yeah, that
it's like watching an episode of Breaking Bad right there.
Twists and turns.
I will say, in Capcom's defense, or whoever created the series, I always forget the guy's name, the third game is actually, oddly, does have a story where it has, like, Mega Man's brother that you have to fight at various points, and then toward the end, he saves you in a battle.
Proto Man.
Yeah, Proto Man. And it has this whimsical music at the end. Not whimsical, wistful. Like, kind of like, it plays a sad song at the end. Mm-hmm. Cause you think Proto Man has died.
You murdered your brother.
Yes, something like that. But no, these games do not have much of an in-game story until you get to the Super Nintendo installments.
Well, I'm glad you read that, because I had in my notes, I wasn't sure what it was Dr. Wily turned into. I have Ghost, Alien, Skeleton. It looks like all three. So.
Yeah, well, you know, it was a big deal that, I don't know. Like, he managed to have, like, 15 forms in all of these games. Like, once you get past the 8 initial Robot Masters, there are, how many boss stages? 6 boss stages, I believe. Not counting boss stage 5, which is you have to beat all of the Robot Masters again, and then you fight Wily.
Yeah.
So,
naturally.
Yes, that's kind of a staple of the series, where once you beat the Robot Masters, you have to fight them all again. Sometimes you have to fight Robot Masters from past games, so
then you got to remember what weapon killed who. And...
Yeah, exactly.
Switcheroo.
Yep. And there's during the main part of the game, or the beginning part of the game, there's passwords given out on like a bingo card looking thing.
Yeah.
But once you get to the Dr. Wily stage, there's no more passwords. So you have to get it all in one run, which I don't know how I did before without save states.
Yeah. I mean, in a short period of time, I had a difficult enough time on the normal levels with safe states. But, I mean, not difficult, but, like, annoying, I would say.
I beat this game once as a kid. I remember distinctly beating it once. But for the most part, I would normally get stuck at the fourth boss stage, which is the Boo Beam trap, according to Wikipedia.
The booby what?
The Heat Man?
Heat Man.
No. It's
Crash.
Quick Man. Crash?
Crash Man.
Yeah, it's basically a puzzle boss where you have to get through the barriers of
you have to use the crash rockets to
you have to
break down the wall.
Okay.
Oh, I was thinking of those beams that come across and murder you.
Oh no, those I eventually got the hang of, but those are very annoying.
Well, the
trick
there is a
Go ahead.
The elephant in the room is what order did everyone go in? Because there is a key order to selecting the boss.
There is an order, but you can start with whichever one you went to.
That's
just have
what
to
I'm
follow
saying.
The order after that.
Yeah.
Well, I remembered to go Metal Man first, because the gear can shoot in different directions. And
yeah, Metal Man is the obvious choice for me, just because his stage is the easiest, and he's not that difficult as a boss.
Well, that's... I looked it up because I didn't feel like figuring it out. And they're saying Airman should be the first one because he suffers double damage from the normal arm cannon. So you don't need a special weapon to beat him. Plus he's easy.
I mean, I would normally go Metal Man first, but it's also because the Metal Blade is by far the most powerful Robot Master weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it works on pretty much every normal enemy in the game. It's pretty powerful against... And also, like, all the boss monsters, let's see, 1, 2, 3 of the boss masters are weak to the Metal Blade. And I don't think anyone is immune to it. So,
mm-hmm.
I normally do Metal, then Flashman, because you need Flashmans for the Time Stopper, and I think it's the Quick Man stage.
That's the one I was thinking of before, mm-hmm. with those...
Oh, those goddamn beams.
Yeah, you absolutely need the Time Stopper for those.
Yeah, there are some really tricky hazards in some of the stages in that one, and also Bubble Man. In his stage, there are instant death spikes.
The spikes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, throughout his stage, because it's underwater, you can, like, leap 40 feet in the air, so it's it's also a jumping mechanic that the rest of the game does not have.
The spike.
Yes, it's Damashek and Feeny. Stay away from the spike. And at some of the later games, most Mega Man games, you know, the spikes are instant death, but some of them do make it a bit easier where if you fall on the spikes, it'll only take away a quarter of your energy instead.
Yeah.
It's just instantly killing you. Now this game from 1 to 2, it does not... I don't think it adds any new mechanics. Unlike
well, you get items, don't you? The three items.
I think one has one item. It has like a lift thing, I want to say, but two, yeah, there are more items that you need. I think you need to use them at the first or the second boss stage to get to a ladder.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a few
places. No, you have to use one on Heat Man stage. I played Heat Man stage first this time around, and I just gave up. I got frustrated because it has that one part where you have to go over the lava and the blocks.
800
they're appearing and disappearing.
Blocks.
And so I just gave up. I was like, I can't do this. I just restarted and started with Metal Man.
I spent about
you need that flying platform just to get across that thing.
I refused to give up on that and wasted an hour that I was supposed to be working trying to get across those stupid blocks with the save state.
Daddy, why don't we have supper tonight? Mega Man 2.
Eat some Cheerios.
Just dump them on the floor.
You gotta be smart like Pascal's pager. He had his kids beat the game for him when it came to Kid Icarus.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Family legacy.
Their first try, they got to the third stage, right?
Yeah, something like that. I had forgotten about the blocks. The blocks are ridiculous, and it's just that's also a staple of the Mega Man games. I think every one of them has the blocks that vanish after a second or two, and you have to do leaps almost always over spike pits or bottomless pits.
Yeah, just nothingness.
Yeah. At least in this game, yes, you can use the is it the rush jet? It's not called the rush jet in this game.
It's just like item
it's
two.
Just item two. Yeah.
Yeah, they give Mega Man a dog robot who
I think that later comes on. In three.
Yeah, in three.
That's your proto man. Prototype.
I do love the absurd boss types though. Like these are super fighting robots. But it's Bubble Man.
They're helpful robots.
Well, they're supposed to be helping construction type robots, and then they turn.
No, Hawk is correct for this game according to the story. These ones are ones Wily made specifically for battle.
For evil.
Yeah,
evil bubbles.
Evil bubbles.
You are correct though. In the first game, it's Dr. Light's robots, and then Wily makes them evil. Except for Mega Man and his, I think it's his sister robot, Roll, who is a housekeeping bot. The patriarchy bot, Roll.
Barefoot and pregnant.
I mean, the logic of this game also suffers from Futurama robot logic, which is why are there female bots and male bots? Why are there... why is there a dog robot in the third game? Like, why would you make robots of differing strength and that kind of thing? There's not really much of a point to it.
Now when this game came out, wasn't there some huge thing about, oh man, in this game, Mega Man takes off his helmet. You can see his flowing hair.
Locks, his beautiful his beautiful mane.
I think
it's right at the start. I mean, it's not right at the start.
Yeah,
it's not like Samus. Secret. Yeah,
Seamus. Yeah, it's not like that. But in the first one, he was just a blue headed robot, and then the second one, is he a real boy?
It's like heavily implied he's some sort of cyborg. Like who else would have hair?
Yeah, he has a human face and hair, but it looks like Dr. Light just
one hand.
Is trying
like
to play
Darth
God
Vader.
Here.
He's more machine now God. Than man.
I mean, they kind of play fast and loose with the fact that Mega Man is supposed to be a machine, because I feel like he does show kind of emotion in some of these games. I don't know.
Well, that's his secret. That's why he's a good guy. He has the emotion.
Unlike these cold, calculating boss enemies, enemy bots. I'll learn to talk one day.
maybe you first have to defeat someone in combat who can talk better.
I gotta beat Talk Man and get his talk box item.
Yeah. Hawk, off of your point though, like Mega Man 2 is not so bad when it comes to the Robot Masters to me, but you know, a lot of the other games, like there are many lists of the worst like Robot Masters. Like there's a Skull Man. There's Guts Man, who apparently his superpower is that he can lift blocks.
There's a Dust Man.
Dust Man.
I'm going to make you sneeze.
Yeah, and especially towards the later PlayStation.
Oil Man?
Is there really an Oil Man?
Yeah.
I can't even tell. And Brisket, you would have fun with some of the enemy names, like of the actual enemies.
Yeah, I looked them
up.
Oh,
I saw them. They're in the animal. They're the manual.
Animal.
There's a Bubble Bat.
Ooh.
Atomic Chicken.
Ooh.
Hot Dog. Is a dog robot. Snapper.
Oh.
Lantern Fish. Air Tiki, which is the Airman drill head platform, which isn't even an enemy. It's just a thing you jump on. Gremlin, which is the thing that shoots out of the Air Tiki. Mm-hmm. Crabbot. Robo Rabbit. Hothead. Lightning Lord. Mecha Monkey. Fan Fiend. Croaker?
Yeah.
Croaker. Crop Top. Crazy Cannon.
Woo, wild and crazy.
Guts Dozer. And Dragon.
Huh. is Dragon the mini boss from, like, well,
it's the dragon.
Yeah. I was just gonna say. Is Dragon is Dragon actually the dragon?
Yes.
The one you beat with the boomerangs at the toward the end.
One could say, yes. Yep.
Yeah. I do always forget that this game does not have the impossible boss from Mega Man 1 and Mega Man 3, which is the like the Atlas thing that reconstructs itself on the left and right side of the screen. That one is horrible. Whereas in this game, I feel like most of the bosses are pretty manageable. Like they have okay patterns, and the Robot Master's weapons do work out pretty well on most of them. And also, when you die in Wily's Fortress, you can resume from the last stage you completed, correct?
I believe so. I believe you can continue.
Like
I was firmly in safe state land at that point, sure.
I was too. I just made sure I didn't die on stages, but...
But yeah, I think you can keep continuing from...
Yeah, like if you lose in Wily Stage 4, you don't go back to Wily Stage 1. Which I think Mega Man 1 did make you go back to Wily Stage 1.
I didn't own Mega Man 1, but I remember playing that at friend's house a few times and thinking that was the hardest game I had ever seen.
Yeah, what one is significantly... I believe it gives you less energy tanks. You have less powers to use because there are only 6 Robot Masters, which seems counterintuitive, but the more powers you can get, the easier some of the stages are. All right, Hawk, you mentioned that you had some of these carts as a kid. Do you still have these cartridges somewhere?
Yeah, in my parents' attic.
Oh.
Not the basement. I mean, it's so,
so close.
Oh.
We have 2, 4, and 5 still.
Do you have the boxes for them?
Probably not.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's too bad because...
We'll have manuals, I bet, but not boxes.
The loose carts for the games, 2 goes for $26, 3 goes for $20, 4 goes for $28, 5 goes for $91.
Ooh.
Oh.
And 6 goes for $43. Those are average prices for just the cartridge.
I'm going to be retrieving 5 over Thanksgiving.
Hey, Mom.
If you have the box and manual, the prices range from $180 to $1,800.
Whoa! Which one's $1,800? 5?
The original game. Five is $600. If you have the box and manual.
5. Was 6 the last one on the NES?
Yes, it was.
I wonder why 5 is more than 6. I would understand 6 because it's at the end of the life of the NES.
Mm-hmm.
And they probably didn't make that many.
Well, 5 is kind of in that same ballpark, and I'm guessing more copies of it just kind of probably got lost because it wasn't the last game in the series. I mean, personally, I've played 5 and 6 on emulators. I've never seen a copy of them out in the wild, as they would say. I have played 1, 2, 3, and 4 on cartridges. And I owned... 2, 3, and 4 at one point. But I think they got traded into Toys R Us at some point, unfortunately.
Hmm.
Hawk,
since you guys are the Mega Man experts here, Is 2 the best one?
Huh. I mean, that's like choosing a favorite child. We all have our favorite, but we don't want
to
say it.
Yeah, but I mean, you have to choose one to get the inheritance.
True.
To get
it's
all
it's impossible to divide.
To get all the sweet baby boy money.
I think in 3 or is it 4 they add the sliding and the charging your power cannon up.
Yeah.
And those add a bit to it. I think probably 3 or 4 is.
Yeah, 3.
The best.
3 they add sliding, 4 they add the Mega Buster being able to charge up, which they pretty much kept for all of the future games and the future spin-offs. My personal favorite because it's the one I played the most as a kid is 3. The sliding really does help in certain areas of the game. And also, it does have that tiny bit of plot that just elevates it a little bit over some of the other games to me.
You really feel for those Mega Mans and Dr. Lights, the plight that they go through.
Yeah, I feel bad for Proto Man.
The struggle is real.
Yeah, exactly.
I have to defeat my brother.
Huel, have you played enough of the series to weigh in here?
No, I have no clue. I mean, I dabbled as a kid. Like, other friends had the games, but I never had them myself. So
yeah, that's my thing. Is like I've rented them occasionally. I've put some time in. I know. I get it. You know, you got one robot and he has a weakness, and it's another robot. And
you go pew pew and zoom zoom.
You go pew pew and you jump on a ladder and you die on a spike, and there you go.
Oh, this one of the Mega Mans was my infamous local rental store, which I think I told the story before, but they had they had the policy where if you rented the game but lost the manual, you had to pay full price for the game.
Oh.
So my mom just went and bought the game because she was like, well, if I'm going to have to pay $50, I might as well just get you the game, and then we'll send the manual back with a rental. So that was like 2 or 3 probably that I actually had, but I honestly don't remember.
Sneaky Huel, I bet you lost that manual on purpose.
That's what I was going to say.
No, I literally do not remember. No. I wasn't evil until I turned about 13, so that was before my evil switch was switched
before
on.
Before you discovered yourself.
Yes.
Yeah. Regular Huel Wiley over here.
Before Huel went south.
Huel.
Before Huel broke bad.
Losing video game manual.
On purpose. Take that, Mom.
I'm just kind of surprised it's a game like Mega Man 2 or 3, which was pretty good, as opposed to Pipe Dreams or, I don't know, Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine.
Maybe that's how I got Shaq Fu. Maybe that's the origin story.
I'm surprised they didn't tell you to just keep it.
Like, you know what? It's fine. Hawk, do you ever lay awake at night just wishing that collection could have been completed? You just know that you had like 2 and 4 and 5, and you're like, why didn't we ever get 1 and 3?
Well, we had 3 at some point. I'm not sure what happened to that, but we did have 3. 1 and 6, though, the bookends.
Yeah, never. Just wake up in a start. Why'd we start at 2?
gotta finish the cycle.
What were we thinking?
I mean, Capcom is they are an odd company, especially like throughout their history, but like,
yeah,
I mean, they kept churning out sequels for this game, but you know, I was quite interested in getting my hands on Mega Man 1 at some point, and I just, you know, I got it through the rental place. I never saw it for sale in a store, even when like at one point, like Toys R Us had 2, 3, and 4 for sale, and like they seemed to be pretty brisk sellers. Like growing up as a kid, like, you know, my friends knew who Mega Man was. It wasn't like my love of the Dragon Warrior games was where I was the only one playing them.
Or you're at the Adventures of Lolo.
Yeah, the Adventures of Lolo, which I've only ever seen in Nintendo Power. There's like a whole subset of games that Nintendo Power would hawk, one might say. But you would never actually see them for sale anywhere. And that was Adventures of Lolo, and Deja Vu, and Shadowgate.
What about Dizzy's Adventures?
Oh well, Dizzy's Adventures. I don't know if I have explained how I got my hands on those, but my aunt knew I was a video game fan, and on QVC one day they were selling some video games.
Oh boy!
So yes, all of the Dizzy and Cap America games come from like QVC. So that's
all the top titles sold through QVC.
Yeah, exactly. since I'm kind of going into
She meant well.
They are playable. We'll cover them at some point. They are my shameful gaming series. They are not like complete broken pieces of crap. They are just, you know.
They don't sell crap on QVC.
No.
Oh no no. I think the Q is for quality.
I like to imagine that this was sandwiched between like Martha Stewart selling some linens and then maybe like the Rosie O'Donnell cookerware.
What? Is that a thing?
I feel like every other product on QVC, like I used to, she would just have it on in the house and I would watch it with her when we would visit. And, you know, every other person was like a D-list celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know.
I was just wondering if Rosie O'Donnell had cookerware.
I don't know. I kind of was making that up. It was
just all crockpots.
I was kind of hoping.
Yeah. Paul Lynn for the best of Hollywood Squares. Since we're getting into the history of the series, it produced two main offshoots. There's the main platform series, which is Mega Man 2, 3, 4, etc. It continued with normal numbering until Mega Man 10 was released in March 2010. In the 16-bit era, Capcom released Mega Man X, which, like everything else in the 1990s, it was more extreme.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. Oh, it featured, it featured double jumping, air dashing, more story cutscenes, more charging of the Mega Buster. You could also charge individual Robot Master weapons, just more everything from the NES games.
Yeah, I have to admit, I was much more of a Mega Man X guy growing up. I played a lot more of Mega Man X than Mega Man's.
No shame.
No.
And they did call it Mega Man X for Extreme, but if they didn't call it that, they would have just called it like Super Mega Man, because that's what they're doing, naming everything Super.
It is somewhat amazing that it wasn't just called Super Mega Man, now that you mentioned that, Todd. Mm-hmm.
Was it the 10th one?
No, because at that point they were only up to 5 or 6, and then they just they just went to X for some reason.
Mega Man X is kind of a more Metroidvania type game, where there's a couple of branching paths and hidden items that power you up, and so that was more my style.
Yeah, and the second, I think, for Mega Man X2. You can play as Zero, which is like a another type, and he has a
he's a melee character.
Yeah, yeah. So
you don't mean melee?
Melee, not a melee as Steve says, a melee character.
Are you sure?
Some people like melee characters better than range characters like Mega Man. That's why they're
Ronj.
Games. You say Ronj? Nice.
I mean that series is pretty good. I did not play any of the PlayStation games, which are a little bit more scattered when it comes to reviews. The last proper release in that series, though, was Mega Man X8 for the PlayStation 2 in December 2004. So that series has both been a They've both been pretty dormant, but especially the.
Well, I think you're forgetting something here. Is there's been so many spin-off games from Mega Man, which are not just in these two straightforward side-scrolling shoot 'em ups. There's like the Mega Man Legends games. There's the Mega Man Battle Network, which is, I think it's like Pokemon or something. I don't know. There's a lot of other series spawned off of this in different game styles.
There is, but like. To me, Mega Man is always the classic platform. Like, that's their bread and butter. And for whatever reason, Capcom has just they have shifted away from that series. They've since 2010, they've canceled multiple games. I think they're up to 3 different cancellations of various Mega Man games. Instead, they focused on more modern games that have lost the company way too much money. Den of Geek has a really good series history that I'll link to on the news post for this episode. Part of it is because the series creator, Todd, you might have to help me with this name,
Keiji Inafune.
he left the company and he formed a Kickstarter for Mighty No. 9, which is a spiritual successor to Mega Man. It's hit pretty much all of its fundraising goals, and it's scheduled for release in February 2016.
Yeah, I think this is the much-delayed Mighty No. 9.
Yes, it keeps... it seems like they have been legitimately adding stages and features to it, and they keep adding platforms it's going to come out on. Like, it was originally just supposed to be PC, and now it's, like, everything. Like, all of the PlayStation systems, all of the Xbox... And I believe all of the Nintendo stuff as well. So, I mean, it basically looks like...
Yeah, it's pretty much Mega Man.
Yeah, the bastard cousin of Mega Man. Mm-hmm. Like, the same graphical style, and it looks to have much of the same gameplay. So that should fill...
And I think they even... something we didn't mention yet, which I think is a big point of Mega Man 2. I think for Mighty No. 9, he pulled on the what's it called? The composer... From Mega Man series, Mega Man 2, which Mega Man 2 has one of the most legendary soundtracks of all time.
Oh, definitely. Good.
It's fantastic. The little jingle that plays when you beat a boss, the do-do-do-do-do. I think, did you play that as the Snifferoo last time?
Yeah, I made a little jingle of, actually, I think I used something from Wily's stage.
Yeah, you used one of the boss themes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember which one.
Yeah,
I just know that since we talked about having this as the show this week, the title song has been stuck in my head for how long has it been? Like 2 weeks now. It's just been playing over and over.
Yeah, about that, yeah.
Yeah, that's actually going to be...
it's amazing.
It's going to be the tune to open the show. Because I want it stuck in everyone else's head for the next...
Are you using the full build-up?
You know, I might have to cut a little bit of it out, but I might just let it, I just might let it run free.
Yeah, we've used a few, did you use either Mini Bosses or Neskimo's songs? But they have some excellent versions of the Mega Man 2 bosses, themes, along with the main theme.
Oh, definitely.
Like, they translate very well into actual instrument covers.
Yeah, there is a lot of care put into the music of all of these games, but I feel like two might be the best music of the series.
Two is the standout of the series, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. It's not just each boss... well, the boss theme is the same for each boss fight, but each level has different music, which, you know, that's 13 different stage tracks, which is... That's a lot for a Nintendo game. Plus you have the title theme, plus you have... I think there's 2 or 3 different ending themes. So I believe the YouTube collection on the Mega Man 2 music is pretty substantial. Let's see. It's over 25 minutes, which is quite a bit for an NES game, which is basically just bleeps and bloops.
Well, yeah, all those beepy, beepy, boppy, boopies.
Yeah.
But speaking of the music you use when you select a stage to start, and it shows the bar and the boss in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Heat Man, and it just starts before you start a stage. Actually, in college, I found a program that you could install on Windows that every time you opened a program, it would play that boss selection theme and show the icon for the program in that boss... highlight bar.
Yeah.
And it was great for like 15 minutes, but then I just had to turn it off. So it was just play a little theme and it would have like word in the middle.
A little paperclip comes out.
And then it would finally start the actual program. So it was a great novelty, but it was just something I remembered.
It seems like one of those ideas that's fun at the time, like like having a song as your cell phone ringtone. But then after like five phone calls, you're like, oh god, I freaking hate OK Go now.
At some point, you're just like, all right, I just need to open this like right now. Mm-hmm. I can't wait 13 seconds.
We get it. It's getting hot in here.
Oh, it's so hot. I just want to keep my clothes on this time.
Well, Brisket, did you have any other thoughts about Mega Man 2 here?
Yeah, playing this game this week, the only thing I was thinking about was DuckTales is DuckTales is such a great game. DuckTales is probably number one as far as platforming.
How many DuckTales do you rate?
This Mega Man 2 is very highly rated.
0.9.
I'll give it props. I'd probably put about you're right, Hill. About a 0.9 of a DuckTale.
All right. I have to disagree.
So wait, is it one DuckTale is the best, or is it 1 to 5? What's the DuckTale scale again?
Clearly, if DuckTale is the best,
one DuckTale is a DuckTale.
It's top.
Oh, okay. Right.
One DuckTale equals a DuckTale. How hard is that to grasp? So if everything's lesser than DuckTales, then you can only be fractions of DuckTale.
Okay. What's
so 0.9 is pretty good.
But what's
it
the,
is pretty good, yeah.
What's the equivalency when it comes to like macaws, though?
Why would there be?
And Swamp.
There's no macaw video game.
Yet, I have it in development. It's going to be
for the NES
Kickstarter.
It's going to be a prominent part of Scottie Pippen's Puzzle Challenge.
What's your $50 donor level reward?
Well, for $50, you get
can my name go on your website for $50 bucks?
We'll get a thank you credit at least.
I'm sorry, that's only available to $100 Platinum Circle members.
A producer credit.
Exactly. For $50, you get a copy of the game, which is for the Atari Lynx.
Mm. Nice.
And also you get a coaster that says, nice. Thank you for helping Scottie Pippen reject world hunger.
Okay.
I do like coasters. Mm-hmm.
And I hate world hunger.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, who wants to be hungry?
Mm. Losers.
Solving so many problems.
Mm-hmm. Well, on that note, Brisket, did you have anything else about Mega Man 2?
No, I'm good.
Huel, how about you? Any thoughts about the old Blue Bomber here?
No, I just remember Capcom likes to put little hints of its other games in their other games, and I remember in mm-hmm. Dead Rising, the zombie mall smashing game, you get you can find a Mega Buster in one of the stores, and you can pew pew some zombies with it. I thought that was fun.
Oh, that is good.
And can't you get a? There's like some robot.
You get the helmet.
You
can get
put
the
helmet
too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get the Mega Man helmet and the Mega Buster.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and also well, yeah, and the Mega Man characters tend to be popular when it comes to crossover fighting games. Mm-hmm. They're obviously Mega Man, and I think Roll are in Capcom versus Marvel 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
Various Mega Man characters. And Mega Man is also in the Smash series now, I believe.
Yep, the latest one, I think.
Yeah, which is, that's cool. So.
That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, good for them.
Yeah, good job.
Good job by them.
I'm glad. Glad Mega Man has finally made it in the world.
Yeah. Crossover appeal.
Yeah, I was trying to.
He's like Will Smith.
Oh, it's good that kid can finally make it. I was trying to look up some of the recent games that Capcom has done instead of Mega Man, but instead it's just coming up with 50 remakes of Mega Man. Which
they have that new Street Fighter coming out, but that's about it.
Yes, they are like Square Enix. They are a company that loves to just get a whiff of its own farts, like on South Park.
Well, that's what I was saying about they like to reference their own stuff.
Oh yeah, true. And whenever there's a new console, it's like, oh great, we can release 40 of our old games on it.
New collection, go.
Yeah. And it's not like we've mentioned the Rare Replay for the Xbox One, which is very well reviewed and adds new features. No, these are just straight up shovelware of old games.
So. Well, the Rare Replay is actually rare, and that is like the first time they've ever done it.
Yeah.
And they actually put care into it. But Capcom just slaps together 40 of their old games and puts them wherever they want to.
Mm-hmm. Ah, good times.
Can't blame them.
Listen, you gotta make that mailbox money.
Oh yeah.
All right, Hawk. What are your thoughts here on Mega Man 2 as we wrap up?
I've got one more, and this might just be me, but Dr. Robotnik from the Sonic games, for some reason, always reminded me of Dr. Wily from the Mega Man games, flying around in his little robot ship.
Well, they have the same mustache.
Mm-hmm.
I got them constantly confused as a child.
They seem like they would be friends.
They're pretty much the same guy.
Yeah. They seem like they would go out for tea. Like between evil schemes, just hanging out with one another. Like,
between installments in each of their series, they kind of regroup and talk about where they went wrong. And,
let's go back to my skull-shaped lair.
No. Mine just got a new cappuccino machine.
Yeah. What have you been up to lately? Oh, making robot clones. How about you? Oh, enslaving small farmland animals.
Yeah. While he's like
of robots, yeah.
Yeah.
While he talks to Robotnik, he's like, don't make a robot based off Bubbles. It's just not worth it. just scrap it. Think of something else.
I have a great idea. I'm going to make a robot made out of wood.
Nothing can defeat wood. Except one of my other robots that's fire. He'll just have to fight the wood one first.
Yeah. It does seem weird that he didn't just go straight to a diamond man or something like that.
Look, he's not made of money, man. I guess the results of wood and air to be the basis of his robots.
I got this extra fan laying around here. Can I do it?
Yeah,
I think that's the real story here.
It's a good thing he didn't ever brainstorm while he was in the bathroom then.
Oh,
oh God! Oh goodness!
He could have made soap, man. Exactly. I'm sure that's what you were going for.
Yeah. It is kind of odd. I don't think there's been a Sega Capcom crossover, has there? And they're not. I don't think they've done a crossover, and those are two companies that love to just churn stuff out. So I wonder if that might be in the cards, or if there's some kind of bad blood. Because I don't think Capcom didn't do a ton of stuff for Sega back in the day either. So
it'll be
one of life's mysteries.
They kind of both channeled their forces into they've channeled both their forces into Smash Brothers. So I think they're just kind of.
Yeah,
bowing down to the Nintendo overlords.
Could be happy to just work for the big N.
Yep, happy to make that Smash Brothers money.
Well, Hawkman, did you have any other notes there?
No, that's it for me.
All right, in that case, I think it's time to move on to the email portion of tonight's program. Brisket, did you get any emails?
Unfortunately, my email coffers are desolate.
You looked in them, and Jeeves had not printed any out for you to read while you opened them to the
shame.
To the light of the world.
I had my email opener right, laying right here next to me. Been using it to clean my fingernails.
Yeah.
Cleaning my fingernails with it for the past week, and Jeeves just has not brought in any emails for me.
That's unfortunate. Now, Hawkman, I don't know how anyone would have emailed you since you have not been on the show before, but did you get any emails about the show?
No, not about the show. It would have been strange.
Yes, it would have been quite strange, but it has happened in the past.
Well, not about the show, but did you receive any at all?
Yeah, any emails. Yeah.
Password change alert or...
box is full.
Maybe some medical advice or...
Hawk, are you the type of guy who leaves your emails unread, or do they have to be zero?
I use the inbox. Yeah, this is going to be exciting.
This is what I wanted to hear on this video game show.
I keep up with it and use the inbox as a to-do list.
Okay, good call.
How many...
Oh, no.
How many to-dos do you have right now?
Oh, Jesus.
I've got four things in the box now, including clean out the dryer vents.
Oh, that's not too bad then.
Yeah.
I have 41, so.
Well, you're a monster.
This is better.
I have more than 1,000 unread posts on a popular message board. I just leave them there. Huel, did you get any emails this week?
I did, in fact, receive an email.
Oh, good.
This is from one of our most frequent writers, ScooterButt42.
I'm so excited.
Oh, Scooty.
Oh. So they write, "Dear YPB, I listened to the Jurassic Park episode. I remember playing it, and what a piece of crap. Dinosaurs are so overrated. Oh, they're all dead. Who cares? The best thing they ever did was give us sweet, sweet gasoline. Mm-hmm. Are there even any good dinosaurs in video games? Sincerely, ScooterButt42. Well, that's
Scooty
one
sounded
of the, one of,
a little more jaded than usual.
Yeah, he seems to have some sort of vendetta against one of the most popular sections of creatures to ever roam the earth.
I have two thoughts. First, yeah, normally ScooterButt is a ray of sunshine on our shows. Mm-hmm. And second,
yeah,
we now know that ScooterButt is not Baradur or Lord Metallica.
No.
That's clearly not his... Those are not his alter egos.
Oh, right. We've narrowed it down to eliminate two facts review writers.
I had that.
I got a little something for Scooty.
Oh.
Has he ever played a little video game called Super Mario World?
Oh, well, that's a
great question. There's a dinosaur named Yoshi right there.
Yes, that is an excellent point. One of the most popular characters in Nintendo lore. Mm-hmm. Is, in fact, a dinosaur.
That's mm-hmm. a good ad.
Didn't even mean to rhyme that. But it happened. Look at that.
Yeah, my mind immediately went to Yoshi as well. And I'm sure by this point he probably has like 15 family members like Boshi and Woshi and...
Goshi.
Yeah, it's Nintendo. Nintendo has now completely lost its mind, and there's a Linkle. So,
well, you got to destroy the patriarchy one game at a time, right?
Yeah. And by doing that, let's just make an offshoot of Link instead of making Zelda into a non wimp. But whatever. Dinosaurs. I don't know. Turok has dinosaurs, but they mostly just get shot.
Yeah, they're kind of. Right. Kind of little pusses there.
But at the same time, I mean, it's one of the most iconic dinosaur-based games for He Hunts Them.
Yeah, I can't really think of many games.
Is iconic a way to describe Turok?
I said iconic dinosaur-based games. Okay. So,
well, there's an arcade classic that's always intrigued me called Primal Rage. You guys know that one?
Oh, that's true, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. Not what's it? Rampage.
Rampage, yeah.
Yeah,
you got Lizzie there.
The T-Rex and Rampage, yeah.
Lizzie.
Now, is it a lizard or a T-Rex?
It's a Godzilla.
Yeah, I thought
it was. It's more of like a Reptar. if we're being honest here.
Yeah, you're right. It's a Reptar. Is that the alien from Star Trek? Is that alien race?
If you remember Rugrats, the old cartoon, the go-to character.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's more of a Godzilla. I'm not quite sure how to quantify that.
Teams, I have played Primal Rage for Super Nintendo. I was not especially impressed, unfortunately.
No, it is not. It is not a good fighting game. No. But here's the thing: I've never really put much time into it. All I know is that whenever I walk by it in the arcade, I have to just watch it for a few minutes and look at all the animation.
Yeah, isn't one of them like a King Kong gorilla type thing too?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Right.
It's a cooler game on paper than it actually plays.
Right.
Since you control you can control dinosaurs and these gorillas and that kind of stuff and fight them against one another, but it's not balanced really well, and it's kind of sluggish.
Very clunky and slow.
Yeah, exactly. I did a quick Google search, and now there's one game that could be a contender. It's called Dino Park Tycoon.
Ooh. I think you brought this up last week, in fact.
Yeah, the JP-sode.
No, because this one is from 1993.
Right, but you say it was like Roller Coaster Tycoon, but with dinosaurs?
That is a different game. I think Zoo Tycoon has a dinosaur option.
I remember you saying this though. I don't know.
I remember too.
Pretty familiar.
Fuck. Oh, three to one.
Oh. I don't know. I must have just read the name last week and not actually clicked the article on it. Because it's an educational business simulation computer game about running a Dino Park theme.
Maybe that is it then.
Yeah, but outside of that though, no. Google did not come up with anything we have not mentioned. Just like 40 Jurassic Park games came up, shockingly.
Google, Paul, did you have any thoughts?
Well, Google tells me that there's a game series called Dino Crisis made by Capcom.
Exactly. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Resident Evil, but worse. And
it's funny because it's a Resident Evil ripoff made by the company that made Resident Evil. Yeah. So
they're like, "Oh, we have this engine laying around here. Let's make some dinosaur models and put them in there.
Cut zombie, paste dinosaur, publish. That's it. Dino Crisis.
Yeah.
That's really the only one I could think of besides Yoshi.
There's also Cadillacs and Dinosaurs, which I wasn't even aware had actually ever came out.
What?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think it's based on a comic book, and it's a side-scrolling beat-em-up where you are a lady or a dinosaur, and you're beating up other dinosaurs driving cars.
Yeah,
it is amazing.
I just remember because for years and years, it was a game rumored to be coming to the N64. Like, you would see it in every issue of Nintendo Power.
Flex.
And then it never came out.
Oh, boy.
So.
There's also the oft-referenced Star Fox Adventures, which has dinosaur-ish characters.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
See, there's more games with dinosaurs than we thought. Super Metroid has a dinosaur kind of thing that you fight.
Yeah.
So.
Usually enemies, but they're there.
Yeah.
Thanks, Scooty.
keep running in. Keep your chin up.
keep on typing.
I received one email this week. Hey, guys, this is show number 30 for you. What's your favorite game from 30 years ago? Super Mario Brothers, Duck Hunt, or Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
Ooh.
Sincerely, Rooney Mara.
Huh.
Not the one you're thinking of.
Yeah, well, it's actually Rooney, R-O-O-N-Y, not E-Y. So.
Sure, it's not Ronnie.
Maybe she misspelled her name.
I often do that myself. So, so of those three games, which is your favorite? Since they're very similar, Duck Hunt, Super Mario Brothers, or Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
I gotta say. Mario Brothers has to be the top choice just because of the legacy, but hot take.
Oh no.
Replayability wise, Carmen Sandiego. I'd go with Carmen Sandiego.
Huh. I honestly don't think I've played a Carmen Sandiego game. Oh, I've seen many an episode of the television program.
Oh, I have the CD-ROMs.
But I don't think I've played the game itself.
The TV show is better.
I don't doubt it.
I mean, it is TV, but...
Well, they did have Rockapella.
Yeah, the game didn't have Rockapella and the oddly Phil Collins-looking host.
the games... Hawk, you can chime in here, too, of course. But the games, I...
You're allowed, yes.
Yes, you're allowed. We'll see. You're I found the games to be kind of fun, but also like I was playing them when I was like 9, so like I didn't really want to learn about like European culture and answer questions about it to find Carmen Sandiego. So
yeah, I'd have to go Mario, but
yeah,
that makes me think. Does anybody know how the blaster gun for Duck Hunt actually worked?
Yes.
Okay, never mind.
When you clicked, the screen would briefly flash one frame where I think the background, like the screen was white, but where the duck was a black square.
Yep.
So what the gun was pointing at would try to recognize, or maybe it was the opposite.
No, you're right. You're right.
Would try to recognize the white. So if it didn't pick up white, it knew you missed. But if it did, it knew you actually hit the duck.
Uh-huh.
So you could always see like a square around the duck when you clicked, but it was like only one frame.
It's conveniently masked because it's a gunshot going off. So it's like a right, muzzle
it looks
blast.
Like a flash. It looks flashing like a muzzle makes, flash. Yeah. So I think people cheated by actually pointing it at something either black or white, whatever the actual square was, and then just clicking on that and... You were able to just shoot everything normally.
Yeah. Well, and my move was also I would not sit an appropriate distance away from the TV. I would put the gun like on the TV.
Directly just, on the screen. Yeah.
Yeah, and just follow the duck around.
Yeah, who doesn't?
Everybody did that.
It's a great game.
Yeah. Oh, and there is also the little known thing where you can control the duck with the second controller if you plug one in.
Oh, it's a two-player versus mode.
Yeah, a lame two-player game, but still two-player. Now, Rooney did not mention this, but there were some other games that came out in 1985, but they were mostly arcade games, or they didn't get to America for a year or two. Gauntlet came out, Ghosts and Goblins, Commando, and Paperboy.
Oh,
pretty solid.
Brought up any one of those.
Yeah, yeah, and some other games that probably Pascal Spader has probably heard of. Like, I don't know. Better Duke, a.k.a. Alien Sector. So, good times back in the arcades, 1985, Halt and Catch Fire style. All right, I think that concludes the email portion of the show this week. Now, Brisket, I understand you wanted to have a moment or two here.
Yeah, shouldn't take but a minute or two. There's been a lot of controversy in the news lately about us and our show, and I wanted to say something about it. I've had a speech prepared for me by my close personal friend Kenny West to kind of summarize those feelings. You may think that in some way I'm angry. I'm not angry at all. I'm extremely, extremely happy. Extremely happy. See, my approach might be slightly different because the way I talk on the show, some people talk like that when they around their family. But see, with me, I believe that all you is all my family, so I can say anything. See, the thing is, I'm talking to y'all like 10 years from now. 10 years from now, just remember what I said. Because with the media, at least, you know what I'm saying? You've got some older writers that understand what real video game podcasting is like. And that's Teeb. Let him do what he wants. Then you got some people who are disgruntled, sad about life, and they want to take everything I've ever said that might not be the right thing and that they all thought you wouldn't be into and try to damn it. I think in the past 3 months that I've been saying, you're all going to look at it in 10 years and be like, that was some very inspirational, actually. So when they try to make it like I'm let the media tell it, there'd be nobody listening here right now. And this setting download record 2 weeks in a row. So you know what that means for the future? I'm just going to be crazier. Let me give my definition of crazy. Webster's tells it is the definition of crazy is to do the same thing, expecting a different result. Now, my definition of crazy is to think something that nobody would ever do and say it out loud or attempt to do it. And while people are looking at it and it's not working, people will say, oh, that's crazy. But if you do something that no one would ever do and it works, that's genius. And for me, genius is ground zero. I'm bored otherwise. I'm yawning otherwise. If you've seen it before, I don't want to be involved with it. I don't how much money it pays. I'm into designing and concept. I'm into designing the future. I'm into motivation. I'm into inspiration. I still think I am the greatest. Thank you.
Huh.
Man, given all that and the robot fighting, I'm about to think about.
Almost inspirational.
Almost.
I just hope that settles everything with all the controversy that I've been seeing around the news lately.
It just clears the air. Yeah. To be honest. Yeah.
I can tell you're not a college dropout to have a good speech like that.
Vernacular.
Yeah. Ah, well, on that friendly note, something uplifting to leave Scooter Butt off on. Brisket, do you have anything else you wanted to say to close out the show here?
I feel like you said enough already.
Two, get equipped with item two.
Okay.
Oh. Huel, how about you?
Whenever you're moving forward in life, just keep jumping and shooting constantly.
All right. And Hawkman, thanks so much for guesting on the show. Do you have any projects you want to plug?
No. We can talk about my email inbox some more, though, if you want.
How many folders do you have?
No, thanks for having me, guys. It was a lot of fun.
You're not appearing at like a at an Everglades Denny's anytime soon or anything like that.
Giving out swamp buggy tours.
Steak and Shake, man.
Watching cats fight gators.
Yes, Hawk, thank you very much for coming. It was a blast.
Yeah, and to play us out, here's a little snifferoo from next week's episode.